Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Extra, extra, hear all about it. Energy Department approves another $1 billion in your tax money to two more solar energy companies after $535 million evaporated in smoke. Obama's Energy Department just today approved another $1 billion to two more solar energy companies. Can anybody tell me how this man gets away with it? Can anybody tell me how the Republicans are not demanding impeachment? Welcome to the Savage Nation. I'm Michael Savage. I am back with you. I had a little post-dental surgical whatever, and I'm back. I got to tell you something. The middle of the night, I started to think the show was working already in my subconscious again. That's how this thing works. This is not purely from the conscious level. It's within my, it's encoded in me. And the first thing that came to my mind was, I'm going to go on the air and say I'm not going to talk about Obama anymore. I'm not going to bash Obama, but I don't know how to stop. You can't stop when you see such corruption and such anti-Americanism as occurring from this White House. It is almost impossible to not talk about this administration. The Energy Department today announced that it has finalized more than $1 billion in loan guarantees for two separate solar energy projects. This decision is coming weeks after Solyndra, a California-based solar manufacturer that received a $535 million loan guarantee from the Obama administration, filed for bankruptcy and fired 1,100 workers. The Department of Energy today announced a $737 million loan guarantee to help finance construction of a Crescent Dunes solar energy project in Nevada, Harry Reid's home state. Almost $1 billion of stimulus money to Harry Reid's home state, to a company called Crescent Dunes Solar Energy in Nye County, Nevada. The project is sponsored by Tonopah Solar, a subsidiary of California-based Solar Reserve. Look up their board of directors. Now let's go down the list. There is another facility. The Energy Department under this administration today also announced that it had given away a separate $337 million loan guarantee to an energy project in Arizona. Again, a solar energy project. These loan guarantees are following the $550 million loan guarantees that disappeared and went up in smoke before. Ladies and gentlemen, what is it going to take for you to awake to the fact that we are not run by those who respect the rule of law, but those who run roughshod over the rule of law? At the same time, Light Squared, the other major scandal under Obama, Light Squared, Light Squared, Light Squared. Remember that name? What is Light Squared? Well, you don't have to know all the details. It's a high-speed cell phone service company using a network of satellites and land-based cell towers. Sounds good, yes? Well, tests found that Light Squared had a network that interfered with GPS devices, a big concern for the U.S. military. The FCC decided the company would not get final approval for its network until this issue of interfering with the military's GPS is resolved. And so what has LightSquared just done? You want to hear the news? Here it comes. LightSquared has doubled the size of its lobbying team. Who are the lobbyists? Are you ready to hear the dirty names? Here are the filthy, dirty names, both sides of the aisle. Here are the new lobbyists working for LightSquared. Even though this company apparently has a product that interferes with our national security, it does not matter to Richard Gephardt, Missouri. It does not matter to former Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell, both lobbying for Light Squared. But if you think it's only dirty Democrats, you're mistaken. The company's K Street gangsters also includes prominent Republicans. Prominent Republicans who I will not even name. I'm too sick to even read their names. The fact of the matter is, this is a country not of the people, by the people, and for the people. It is a country of the lobbyists, by the lobbyists, and for the lobbyists. Take a look at your economy. Take a look at your military. Take a look at your social policies, and you'll know why it's impossible to stop talking about the most corrupt administration in American history. Woe to all of us that we have such a dumb population, a population of dumbbells who does not even understand, not even an iota of understanding of the danger they are in, walking around like the dummies they are with their head in the clouds. Four more years of this corrupt administration, there will not be a United States of America. There will be a United Soviet States of America, as sure as I am sitting here. Also in the Savage Nation today, a free copy of my smash novel, Abuse of Power, will go to everyone who gets on the program. I especially want to hear from listeners in the San Francisco Bay Area who have read the novel Abuse of Power, and I would like your opinion of my description of scenes in San Francisco. You like them? I hope you do, because the book's on the bestseller list. You wouldn't know that from the media itself, but I don't care about the media. I care only about you. We have these stories and many more. We have the solar scam. We have Light Squared. We have the book. We have the callers. All this and more on the Savage Nation. Let's take our first call now. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number here. My website, michaelsavage.com. Mitch in Chicago, you're the first up. Go ahead, please.
Michael, it's absurd what's happening with Slender and these energy programs. Basically, I used to be on a board that was a non-for-profit board called CEDA, Community Economic Development Association. They were giving preferential loans to people that had connections to the board members. The same thing's happening with Solyndra and all these energy programs.
Yeah, but the government is in the midst of a Solyndra scandal, and they just gave out another $1 billion in loans today before the time runs out on it. They're giving away the stimulus money to their friends again. How do they get away with this?
It's unreal. I mean, what I would see is that when I actually started to blow the whistle... Let's
stop with the unreal. We have a two-party system. If we truly had another party, they would call for the impeachment of Obama immediately. They would stop this double talk. But they're running scared because they also have dirty laundry. Don't you understand that?
It is.
And they're looking for a lobbying job when they are thrown out or leave office. Don't you understand that? It's impossible to believe what is going on in this country. I have never seen anything like it. This is something you would expect in a banana republic from the 1950s. This is something you would have expected from a despotic regime somewhere in Central America. I have never seen anything like this ever in my entire life. If you care to comment on these or other stories, Mitch, you're getting a free copy of Abuse of Power. Stay in the line. Let's go to Kansas City. Drew, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Drew, go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to point out with the Light Squared, I used to work for a GPS manufacturing company, and the Light Squared, not only is it not going to affect and have problems with our military here at home, but it'll also affect commercial industries as well, especially with agriculture and farmers, because a lot of those, you know, especially like John Deere, will use those GPS satellite signals for farmers.
Yes, and what about all the boaters in America?
All the boaters.
How about their GPS on their boats? How about GPS in cars? Every car that has a GPS in it will be affected, according to what I'm reading. But let me give you this. Drew, I'm sending you a copy of Abuse of Power. Stay in the line. We must be fair on the Savage Nation. So I'll read you what Light Squared has to say. Are you ready? Light Squared says the GPS industry is out to hurt it. They said the GPS industry wants to ruin Light Squared. They said we're the little guy. They said this is us against multiple companies and user groups, each of whom bring their own lobbying resources to the fight, said Light Squared. And they said any suggestion that Light Squared has run roughshod over the regulatory process is contradicted by the reality of 8 long years spent gaining approvals, said Sanjeev Ahuja, the CEO of Light Squared. Mr. Sanjeev Ahuja also said it is ludicrous to suggest that Light Squared's success is due to political ties, because they give money to both sides of the aisle. You get that? This company is formerly known as SkyTerra. This company was created by a man who made $10 billion betting against the housing market. Do you know anything about that story, that part of the Light Squared story? Look into it, because you're going to hear much more about Light Square's founder, who has stayed behind the scenes. But frankly, any man who makes $10 billion betting about against the housing market, would you trust him to build a cell phone tower that doesn't interfere with the military? How do we know if some of this money has not come from China? Do we have any way of knowing whether some of the investments in Light Squared come from our would-be non-allies? Notice how I put it, would-be non-allies. Again, a free copy of my smash best-selling novel, Abuse of Power, to every caller who gets on the air. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. We're open for business. I'll be right back.
Savage.
What I'm about to tell you will make your hair, if it's not standing up, start to fry on the top of your head. We've been talking about the corrupt Energy Department approving another $1 billion in so-called energy loans for solar after $535 million went missing. The crooks in the Energy Department, the crooks, today gave away another $1 billion of money from stimulus funds. This article came out minutes ago from the Gateway Pundit, because you're not going to believe it. It's entitled Crony Socialism. Obama gives $737 million to solar firm linked to the Pelosi clan. The Gateway Pundit by Jim Hoft on Wednesday, September 28th. It's as if Solyndra never happened. The Obama administration is giving $737 million to Tonopah Solar, a subsidiary of California-based Solar Reserve. PCG is an investment partner with Solar Reserve. Nancy Pelosi's brother-in-law happens to be the number two man at PCG. Obama is spending $737 million on this. The Energy Department gave away $737 million for a Nevada solar project. This is several weeks after a California-based solar manufacturer received $535 million in loan guarantees from the Obama administration that filed for bankruptcy and the money went up in smoke. This one is a new one, and the people in the media are starting to scream, and they are saying, how did Nancy Pelosi's brother-in-law become number two at PCG? You want to read all about it? Read the original sources. It's going to be all over the media. Nancy Pelosi's brother-in-law also happens to be, are you ready, the uncle of ex-Mayor Gavin Newsom. That's correct. That's correct. San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom's uncle. And now we find that there is a connection between the big gavel and the big loan. The big gavel and the big loan. Crony socialism, says the Gateway Pundit. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you have any idea what I'm talking about here on the Savage Nation? Or shall I tell you about pickles on the Lower East Side? Would you rather hear a meatball recipe? Because you're not going to get it from me today. I'll take your calls right now on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Sacramento, Lance, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I'm very pleased with your descriptions of the San Francisco Bay Area. For example, the Cow Palace. I used to hit tennis balls near the Cow Palace, and I felt like the chilly wind was going right through me when I...
But wait, you mean my descriptions where? In my novel, Abuse of Power, when I talk about the dog show that the corrupt senator attends?
Exactly. The corrupt senator. Quite interesting. Now, here's something about...
You know, I'm one of the... Isn't it true that it's interesting that the villains in my novel, Abuse of Power, are actually... Although it's the hand of Allah who's planning the next 9/11, it's actually corrupt American U.S. officials who are hand in glove with them. Have you noticed that in my novel?
Well, certainly. That this is, of course, the insidious nature of what you're trying to say, I'm quite certain. So,
Yes, that it's the corrupt British government and the corrupt American government is actually hand in glove with some members of the radical Muslim community. But we don't understand that yet. It's like firemen setting fires to make sure the budget continues to give them fat pensions. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Now, I want you to calm down. Could you tell us about Turangi and the fact that this Tony character lives on Turangi, your old boat?
Well, how do you know it's my old boat?
Oh, you've said it on the air before.
Oh, my God. You're a real keen listener. Well, I did have an old wooden sailboat, a 22-foot made of oak and cedar. It was a little sailboat that I had in Hawaii many, many, many decades ago. with no engine. I almost got sent out to sea and never came back on it. And since then, I've always had power boats. I learned my lesson with sailboats. I'm going to send you a free copy of Abuse of Power, Tony Lance, even though you own it, because I want you to get it for Christmas. I hope it's still in the bookstores, and that's why I recommend people buy another copy right now, immediately. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Daniel in New York, let's go back to the news. What's on your mind, Daniel?
Hi, Dr. Savage. No, I was just thinking, you know, it just hit me when I was listening to the top of your show. Why the question isn't going to be asked, I doubt if it will be, why after the BP debacle down in the Gulf, the administration was so quick to shut the entire operations down. But here we have the cylinder of fraud and scam that's been perpetrated on the taxpayers by...
But that's why he shut down the oil drilling, because he wants to move us to solar energy. And he's selling it as though he really believes in solar energy, and it's the latest and most important development. Now, of course, I'd be in favor of solar energy if it was feasible and it was developable right now. But as we've seen, it's pie in the sky. It's fantasy at this time. And the money is simply being siphoned off out of the taxpayer, which is why we're broke, period.
Wouldn't you think that they would at least, you know, take a time out and figure out what happened to Solyndra before they put out another $1 billion for two more solar?
But Daniel, the money dries up on September 30th at the end of this month. The gangsters called the Democrats cannot give away the money in another day or two. So they're running to give it away as fast as they can, while there is zero oversight by the Republicans, who are hiding as well, because the Republicans have a lot of dirty laundry to hide from the years they were raping the economy. Don't you understand why there's no outcry from the Republicans? They were raping the economy for 8 straight years.
And you know what, Michael? I just want to say this real quick. You know, a lot of this happened when I was a young man. When I was being punished, my dad had me sit in front of the water.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm almost out of time, Daniel. I'd love to hear your story. I'm sending you a free copy of Abuse of Power. Read all about it. Crony socialism. Obama gives $737 million away today to a solar firm linked to Nancy Pelosi's brother-in-law. Are you surprised? Do you think it will produce electricity? Think so?
Savage.
Extra hear all about it. After losing $535 million in a solar scam, the Obama administration today rushed to give away another $1 billion in stimulus funds to solar firms, and one of them is linked to the Pelosi clan. Just came out on the Gateway, pundit.com. Crony socialism. Obama gives $737 million to solar firm linked to the Pelosi clan. Here's another article by PriveCap.com. How did Nancy Pelosi's brother-in-law become number two at PCG? Read all about it. It's unbelievable. Here's another part of the puzzle that you won't read in tomorrow's newspaper. Remember Enron? Remember the Enron scandal under the Republicans? Enron veteran turns up in $737 million solar loan guarantee. President Obama's Solyndra scandal drew comparisons to the Enron scandal of the Bush era, but the Department of Energy's latest $737 million loan guarantee for the solar energy company Tonopah Solar involves a veteran of Enron Corporation. Tom Georges serves as Senior VP of Development for Solar Reserve, the parent company of Tonopah Solar. According to the Solar Reserve biography of Georges, he has worked in the energy sector for 20 years, including a stint as a manager at Enron Corporation, where he was responsible for developing and structuring energy asset projects internationally, negotiating and closing over 500 megawatts of power generation agreements. The article concludes, of course, to have worked for Enron does not mean Georges is a crook. In fact, he has the very honorable distinction of also having served 9 years as a Naval Special Warfare Officer in the United States Navy. But this is very interesting given President Obama's recent history with the now defunct Solyndra Company. Enron vet turns up in $737 million solar loan guarantee, as does the brother-in-law of Nancy Pelosi. You care to comment on any of this? Let's go to Charleston, West Virginia. Nick, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, this is ridiculous. All this conspiracy circle, where's the media on it?
I mean, just he's giving out money that could be well spent elsewhere, you know?
Where is the media on this? I had to find this from little pundit sites like the Gateway Pundit and from PriveCap.com. You're not going to read it in tomorrow's New York Times, are you?
I doubt it very seriously. I mean, it's not going to happen. It takes people like you that want to get that truth out there, and I appreciate that because it's ridiculous.
Well, the country is melting down, Nick. We are bankrupt. We are bankrupt politically, economically, and socially. Now they're destroying the military as well. How much more is left for these gangsters to take? Don't they have any children and grandchildren?
They don't care. That's the problem. They don't care. They're not looking forward or looking.
Is it the drugs? Is it the fact that most of them are on medication? That their conscience has been stripped away from them? That there's not even a second thought about this raping and pillaging of the economy in the country? They hold their grandchild in their hands, and they don't put two and two together that what they're doing to this nation will yield slavery for that grandchild. Do they not understand this? The answer is that these medications that most of these politicians are on, and I might say these lobbyists, are basically drugs that kill the conscience. Nick, I'm sending you a copy of Abuse of Power because that is what we are living through in the United States of America. Deborah in New York on WOR. You're next up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I'm very glad to speak to you. I've been trying for weeks to get on.
And, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please. Fire away.
I believe that Herman Cain should be our next president of the United States.
Why?
Because he's got moxie, and he's a business.
Well, a lot of people have moxie. Al Capone had moxie.
Well, I believe he's got what it takes to run a country.
What's the number one idea that Cain has that you like?
He has business sense. He has common sense.
Yes, I agree with you on that, Deborah. And we have an interview with Mr. Cain that was conducted several weeks ago here in the Savage Nation. Did you hear that interview?
No.
You're going to hear it later on today, so I suggest that you stay tuned because it's a heck of an interview. I think I'm the first one in the media to have discovered that Mr. Cain is a mathematician by training, while the media, who claims to love minorities, especially African Americans, wants nothing to do with Mr. Cain because he is a highly educated, highly patriotic, conservative businessman. Therefore, he doesn't exist to the left-wing fanatics in the media. Deborah, I'm sending you a copy of Abuse of Power. Stay on the line. Let's go to Joe on WOR. Joe, go ahead, please.
Yes, Mr. Savage, first of all, pleasure to talk to you. I just flew back in from England a couple of days ago, and I had the pleasure, ironically, to I had a six-hour layover, and I bumped into, it had to be four or five women that were from England, but they're on their way out of the country for a while to get away from everything, with their words, not mine. They saw
right.
My Marine Corps tattoo. I just spent 26 years in the Marines. The woman asked me, "Are you American?" I said, "Yes, I am." And you know what her next question was? "Do you know Michael Savage?"
And I You're kidding.
No, I swear to God. I said to her, "Michael, you mean the radio personality?" I said, "I don't know him personally, but I listen to him every day, whether I was on the internet."
Well, how would these ordinary English women know me since my show isn't even heard in England? How would they even know who I am since the media dropped the story that they banned the only member of the American media from entering their fair nation? How would they even remember me, I wonder?
I asked them, exactly. I said, "How do you know about this guy?" She goes, "Well, when a person gets banned from our country, we tend to pay attention."
And You're kidding.
I asked her, I swear to you. I said to her, "Well, why was he banned?" She goes, "They were afraid." This is their words, not mine. "Afraid of the truth." She goes, "This country is going away." This is their words again. "Britain is going by the way of America." She goes, "CNN, all these other left-wing states."
Yeah, well, some people in England understand what happened to them. They were sold out first by Tony Blair, the Mr. Third Wayer. Then they got hosed down by the next corrupt one, Gordon Brown. And now they're being triangulated by the fake conservative who's in power. And they understand the country is fundamentally not the country of their ancestors. Joe, that's an amazing story coming back from England, as you just did. Please let me make your day and the gratitude of service for the country. I'm going to send you not one, Joe, but one copy for yourself and one for Christmas as a gift of Abuse of Power, because it's a novel I know that someone in your family is going to want to have. This is the Savage Nation. Midwest, Ryan, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Pleasure to talk to you, sir. I work in a maximum security prison out here in the Midwest, and we were processing some property today, and we had some books come in from Amazon, and lo and behold, it's Abuse of Power by Dr. Savage coming into our prison.
Wait a minute. Now, that's because what? A prisoner ordered it?
Yes, a prisoner ordered it from Amazon, and or a prisoner's family might have ordered it. But anyways, I processed it. We processed two books today of Abuse of Power by Dr. Savage for some...
Oh, my God. So, what if my book becomes a big hit in U.S. maximum security prisons? That would be a real honor, wouldn't it?
I work the Seg House, and every night at 5 o'clock Central Time, we throw on Dr. Savage on WORIND.
No, I'm on a new station in Chicago right now. What are you listening to right now, Ryan? Which station are you listening to?
92.9 FM.
Right. Ryan, I'm giving you a free copy. You don't have to be locked up to get it. In fact, you're going to get it for free, but those of you who want to buy, go to Barnes & Noble or Target or any of the big stores. Michael Savage's Abuse of Power. That is amazing. That is amazing. But, you know, when you think abuse of power and you see a man fighting the system, I wonder how many people in federal max prisons are there because they bucked the system. I actually don't want to find out, to be honest with you. 1-800, I gave that already. I was off for a few days, but here I am back, even though I have a bit of a sore throat and a whatever. No point in complaining. There's just too much work to do. Somebody asked me today, how come you do this every day? What motivates you? Doesn't it burn you out? I'll bet it gets your stress level up. I said, yeah, but it's important. I see the country just rotting from within. A fish rots from the head down. And I said, it seems to me that the head that we have in this country right now is rotten right through the brain, and it's rotting out the entire nation. And he said, well, you know, here's a guy I would have thought would have been sort of a liberal Democrat. He was a tradesman. He was an old line third-generation mechanic here in the Bay Area. His grandfather had built wooden boats, fishing boats. And usually these type of guys are old union guys and all Democrat, you know, through and through. And he said to me, you have no idea how popular you are amongst the working man of the Bay Area. He didn't say the union man. He said the working man. It's two different things. Don't confuse the SEIU with the working man. And don't confuse big unions with the working man, he said. And wherever I go, the few people I do speak with, and believe me, it's a few and far between, they all say the same thing to me. They shake their head and they say, he said, what do you think's going on? It's never been this bad, has it? And it's coming from people who I would think are lifetime Democrats. It's amazing to me. Let's go to Chicago. Dave, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's an honor to talk to you.
Thank you.
Your book is a big threat to the unions. I was reading your Abuse of Powers, and it's a fantastic book. And my union rep turned around, as one of the officials, turned around and tore the book up in front of me today.
Oh, come on, Dave. That's not what union. You don't want to say the name of the union.
Sure.
I thought that kind of thing only went on in Nazi Germany where they burned books.
No, it's happening in Chicago, Illinois now. The 150 Operators Union.
But, you know, Dave, it's strange because there's nothing about unions in the book. There's nothing about Democrats in the book.
No.
It's about the abuse of power that's coming down from a government onto the heads of one single man. It has nothing to do with unions or Democrats. So what's he afraid of, I wonder?
You know, that was the question I asked him. What are you afraid of? You afraid of the truth? I says, you know, listen to Dr. Savage. Open your mind up instead of listening
and
to
what
that.
What happened? Did he do anything further after ripping up the book?
He told me never to bring that garbage into the workplace again. And that was funny because I was at lunch. I was eating my lunch while I was reading it for the second time.
Well, he broke the law, by the way, Dave. You could report him to the FBI. You could report him to the EEOC. You know that, don't you? Of course, under the corrupt Obama, you would wind up in trouble, so I don't recommend it, Dave.
Yeah. But
don't make any outside complaints to this gangster because it will hurt you, Dave. You're no longer living in the land of the free and the home of the brave. You're living in a gangland empire. Not boardwalk empire, but something far worse than Atlantic City in the 1920s. I'm sending you a free copy of Abuse of Power, Dave. Don't bring it to work. Do not bring it to work. 1-800-449-8255. Let's take one quick call on the Savage Nation. Bruce in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please, Bruce. What's on your mind?
I'm a new listener, Dr. Savage. Thank you very much for everything you do. And one thing I want to say to everybody about Solyndra, I knew nothing about it until you told me about it, and I had to go on the Internet because not one news program in New York / Long Island covers anything about Solyndra. So I'm very proud of you.
You mean even the other talk station is not covering it with the broadcaster who sounds like Groucho Marx's grandmother getting a hysterectomy without anesthesia? Even he's not covering it?
No one's covering it that I can see, and everywhere I go, so I went onto the Internet, so I would appreciate if you could tell everybody, go on the Internet. The Internet is covering it. The Internet is telling people about these
things. That's right. It's the biggest threat to the corrupt administration is the Internet, which is why they would like to control the Internet. In fact, the Internet's more dangerous than talk radio. Let me send you a free copy of my smash novel, Abuse of Power, number 4 on the New York Times list this Sunday. That's right. You have to pick up the paper. Go online and you'll see that it's number 4 in fiction. It's unprecedented. It may have happened once before, but not too often does an author go from nonfiction to fiction and make the transition like this. It's like going from silent movies to the talkies, I guess, and getting an Academy Award. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Savage Nation, we're living in a despotism unknown in American history, except perhaps under Abraham Lincoln. You and I both think he was a great man in some ways, perhaps, in other ways, not perhaps. But you don't know that Lincoln was a despot. He incarcerated his enemies. He eliminated the writ of habeas corpus required to arrest people. He threw people in dungeons where they rotted away the rest of their lives. Yeah, see, there's a lot to history that we don't know. It's not black and white, so to speak. Now we have North Carolina Governor Beverly Chicken Perdue suggesting that we should suspend elections. She said, I think we ought to suspend elections for Congress for 2 years and just tell them we won't hold it against them to help this country recover. I hope that someone can agree with me on that. No elections. That's coming from a Democrat governor of North Carolina. And today, former budget director says we need less democracy to count the gridlock in Congress. You understand now why I wrote Abuse of Power? Do you understand that America hangs on a thread like a loose tooth under Obama? I told you I had a dream in the middle of the night where the inner voice said, don't get up there and attack Obama. Don't sound just as though you're an Obama basher. It's boring. It's bad radio. You'll sound like one of those nuts, those anti-Bush people. And I wake up and I say, I can't believe what I'm looking at. $1 billion more to solar companies, one of whom is related to Nancy Pelosi, and we're not supposed to notice this? We're not supposed to see this? Tom in Salt Lake City, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, tell you what, Doc, I just got your fifth book. I've got 4 of your others, and I just picked up Abuse of Power at our military base here in Utah, and it was the last copy on the turnstile, and it was books by Tom Clancy, Ken Follett, David Balducci, the new Dick Cheney book, and there were stacks of those prominently displayed. I grabbed the last copy of yours. A lady came up, true story, offered me $10 extra to buy the copy. I said no, but the lady at the bookstore, this happened to me on Trickle Up Poverty too, same situation. But anyway, she said they order the books on Tuesdays. I got this Monday, so yesterday, I assumed she was going to double the order. So I thought she'd want to hear
that's,
that.
But that's the bookstore is a military bookstore, Tom?
Yeah, it's a mall-type thing at the military base. Very big.
But I'm saying, but the purveyor is the DOD, or is it a private bookstore on the base?
Yeah, it's run by different purveyors. They have
interesting.
With-
I'm shocked that the Department of Defense permits them to sell my book. After all, we live in America where they want to suspend elections if they're Democrats. Tom, I'm sending you another copy of Abuse of Power to give away for Christmas. Astounding. I want to play for you before this hour runs out. The Democrat governor of North Carolina suggesting we suspend elections in clip 8. Listen.
I think we ought to suspend perhaps elections for Congress for 2 years and
just tell them we won't hold it against them, whatever decisions they make, to just let them help this country recover. I really hope that somebody can agree with me on that.
That's the governor of North Carolina who wants elections suspended for 2 years so that the gang that is rotting the country out from the head down can run roughshod over the last vestiges of freedom that we have. Why is she not impeached? Why is Governor Beverly Perdue not immediately impeached for this? Okay. Amarillo, Texas. Roger, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, well, first of all, this wasn't what I wanted to talk about, but when that guy called from the prison, I used to work in maximum security prison here, and I was at ADSEG. And at 5 o'clock, the inmates, whether they're white supremacists, black gang members, or Mexican mafia, they love to listen to your show. So,
so they all like my show. That's interesting. It cuts across racial lines.
I know.
I wonder what that says about my show, that all races in prison seem to like it. What's that about, Roger?
I don't know. They just do a crazy over you, you know? Even if you say Saturday.
You know, I'll tell you, I do know what it is. It's like I'm the last angry man in America. They hear me screaming from my heart, and they say, you know what? I don't care what the guy's politics are. This guy is saying it like it is. I don't want to justify crimes or criminals. Don't get me wrong on that. But I've known people who were like edgy in my life. Let's put it to you that way. Bad people. And I moved away from them. But I found a lot of them have something in common, which is they have an almost insane desire to tell people exactly what they think of them. They have an almost inability to say anything other than what they think of a person. I think that's what is the unifying principle between a white gang, a black gang, a Mexican gang. They all like to tell people exactly what they think of them. And maybe they hear something in me and they say, well, maybe if we all said what we think, we can save the country. And they say, ah, why would a criminal want to save the country? It's happened before. Remember World War II?
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. Now, I don't want to talk about President Obama, but I have to talk about President Obama. Now, I don't want to say it's the most corrupt administration in American history, but I believe it's the most corrupt administration in South American history. I have never seen anything like this in my entire life. At the same time that the FBI raids a solar company named Solyndra, because $535 million of money went up in smoke, okay? The Obama administration today released another $1 billion to two other solar firms, and one of them was given $737 million. It was a solar firm, and it's linked to the Pelosi clan, according to the GatewayPundit.com. Now, this does not mean that Pelosi is in any way conducting anything illegal, of course, but it seems strange to me that a loan guarantee to another solar firm, especially to the tune of $737 million, 2 weeks after the FBI raids Solyndra, is a little much even for the Lilliputians at the San Francisco newspaper, who I doubt will cover it. Others in the media, mainly little people like myself, underdogs like Michael Savage, little websites like PriveCap.com, a private capital commentary site, report, how did Nancy Pelosi's brother-in-law become number two at this firm? They don't understand it. They can't understand this. They just don't understand how this happened. and they ask these questions, but it will not end up in the local newspaper, where unless it's about homophobia, it doesn't make it to the newspaper. Crony socialism. Obama gives $737 million today to a solar firm linked to the Pelosi clan. Will it make it to the local newspapers in California? Never. Because we're not living in California, not the California that you grew up in. We are living in a South American banana republic here in the state of California, where corruption is the norm, not the exception. Also in the news today, well, is there any bigger news than that? Well, Cain is way up in the polls, and yet most Americans never heard of him. And that's because although he's an African-American, he's a conservative, therefore he doesn't exist. Because if you are an African-American who loves America, if you are an African-American who is a conservative, just as if you are Hispanic who is a conservative, or a Jew who's conservative, or a Hindu who's conservative, the media doesn't want to know from you. They only want to know you if you are a member of a minority and can be used to push the communist socialist agenda. If you are a member of the minority, minorities I mentioned or other minorities, and you are a good victim of any kind, then you will be held up as a media model by the vermin in the media. If, however, you are a minority who believes in the, well, what, self-sacrifice, self-enactment, getting ahead on your own through your hard work, doing it yourself, not taking a handout, the media wants nothing to do with you. Because when you have an agenda that is pushing big government, what do I mean by, you know, many people don't even understand what communism is, and I have to explain it to you in a few words so you don't think that it's something crazy. Oh, he's a communist. You don't even know what it means. It's very simple. When I say Obama's a Marxist, what do you think it means? He wears a red beret and he salutes a picture of Karl Marx? Of course not. What is a communist? Communist is a person who believes that government, big government, central government, federal government, shall rule the lives of the people from birth through death, from cradle to grave. Every aspect of your life must be run by a government bureaucrat, some little tin horn freakazula, a little tin horn college idiot who knows nothing, who doesn't know the difference between you-know-what and Shinola, will come around to your business and make your life a living hell, whether you're running an auto body shop or a diesel engine shop or a paint shop. It doesn't matter. Some little moron who went to some dumb university and came out a drug addict, worse than the drug addict that went into the college, now comes around with a little certificate and tells you, you can't use this paint, you can't use that spray, you've got to do this for the worker, you've got to do that for the worker, you've got to add this to the worker and that to the worker until eventually you go out of business. And then they're happy because they are individuals who believe that business is evil, that an entrepreneur is a thief, that the American system of economics is exploitive. They dream of a perfect tomorrow where everything is run by Big Brother. And Big Brother to them is Barack Obama. It doesn't matter that every other day there's another scandal involving hundreds of millions or billions of dollars. It does not matter because they don't know it. They see no evil, they hear no evil, and they speak no evil about the most corrupt administration in South American history, and that is the United States of America under the Obama administration. Would you like to talk about these topics? 1-800-449-8255 is the number that will link you up with more people than you have ever spoken with in your entire life. Think about that. This is the third largest radio show in America, even though I am a dirty word to the leftist socialist scum in the media. Somebody is listening to this show. How do you explain that my novel, Abuse of Power, Pure Fiction, a novel written by a right-winger named Michael Savage? I actually don't even like the designation right-winger. I think it's too mild, incidentally. I believe that anybody who loves America is considered a right-winger, and anyone who hates America is considered a progressive. Anyone who would like to see a Chavez-like system installed here, where the middle class has disappeared altogether, where radio and television stations are seized by the government under one guise or another, is considered a progressive. Vermin like Sean Penn, vermin like the Hollywood vermin who make millions of dollars off you idiots who go to their movies, and yet they glorify the Hitler of our time, the Jew-hater Ahmadinejad, the America-hater Chavez, and they come back to accolades here in America. They make movies that you, the idiots, go to. You know, boycotts work two ways. You don't have to go to Sean Penn's movies. You don't have to go to anybody's movies. You don't have to listen to this show. How come they ride high? How come they ride high, these people? Every other day, how come? Crony socialism. Obama gives away $1 billion again today to meet the deadline. This is from stimulus funds. It's amazing to me that he gets away with this. It's just astounding to me. Also in this hour, Kane, the African-American candidate you never heard of, is moving up in polls to Obama. But because he is an African-American who does not believe in big government, he's actually a businessman who ran the Godfather pizza chain. I remember I had him on the show a few weeks ago, Mr. Kane, and I was shocked to find out he was a math major. Why was I shocked? Because the media never reported that Kane was a mathematics major. Why did they never tell you that Kane, an African-American, was a mathematics major? Because it doesn't fit the mold, doesn't fit the stereotype, doesn't fit the lie, doesn't fit the game, doesn't fit the picture, doesn't fit the agenda. Don't you understand that yet? What do I have to tell you? Sold American. Sold American. Sold American. Yeah, sold out American. Sacramento, Aaron, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Mike, I just wanted to say I'm in the Bay Area, read the book, and it's nice on a lot of levels to see when you mention a place that you're familiar with. But I also wanted to make another point, and that's this, that I like how, it, without trying to be, it seems like it's kind of a book of history on the city, especially you talk about North Beach and you talk about the beatniks and posters on the wall and the fact that it was kind of the pre-hippie deal. And then also even in just in the 19th century, there's a chapter, I don't recall, I haven't read it all, I haven't finished it, but about the Chinese immigration and then the whole vibrant Chinatown in the city. And
absolutely. You know, abuse of power does have some historic sweep in it. And you would think that the city of San Francisco, which prides itself on being oh so oriented toward the artiste, would be saluting a native son like Michael Savage. But because I am not a communist, because I am the opposite of a communist, they pretend this best-selling novel doesn't exist. But you know what? I don't need them, because all I need is my audience. From the New York Times best-selling author and nationally syndicated radio talk show host comes a high-intensity debut thriller, the story of a smeared network journalist who uncovers a chilling terrorist plot about the next 9/11, planned by the hand of Allah, but in cahoots with a corrupt U.S. senator. Could that be why the Bay Area doesn't want to read Abuse of Power? But the fact of the matter is Jack Hatfield's scenes on his boat in San Francisco Bay will live much longer than will those scribes writing for the local rags. Let me send you a free copy to give away for Christmas, because I'm afraid by the time Christmas buying comes around, Abuse of Power will not be in the stores. I'm telling you the truth. Many of you are going to want it, and I'd like to give it to you right now. I'll be right back.
Savage.
There's a moon out tonight.
It is the Savage Nation to my Jewish listeners. This is the eve of the new year. The year 5,771 is disappearing and 5,772 is appearing. That's almost 6,000 years of Jewish tradition. I wish you all a good new year, Christian or Jew, whatever. It's astounding. Astounding, the whole thought of civilization surviving for so many thousands of years with traditions and whatsoever. And now on to the weather here in the Bay Area. You can't believe it. It's 91 degrees in downtown San Francisco. Not, of course, we can't say it's Indian summer. We might be arrested for that in the city. It's either Native American summer. We're having a Native American summer here. Weird thing that we have out here. Everyone else gets autumn at this time of year. We suffocate. But it's supposed to drop 20 degrees tonight when the fog comes in, our natural air conditioning. I love that. You know, you're wearing shorts. I mean, tonight's a night, though. It's going to be so hot that after the show, I'm going to jump in a convertible and take a ride after the sun goes down. I mean, I use a convertible very rarely. I don't like it. But, you know, on a hot night, I'll throw Teddy in the front seat, throw the top down when the sun goes down, take a cruise on a back road and turn on some old rock and roll and make believe America is the land of thick chrome and straight women. Let's go to the callers. Marty in New York on WOR. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind, Marty?
Yeah, Michael, your novel, Abuse of Power, literally within days of hitting the shelves, and they want to make a movie out of it. This is an absolutely astounding achievement on your part, Michael. This is unheard of. And sometimes I think I'm happier for you about this than you are. And one final point you used.
Well, Marty, it's an achievement for me to have gone from nonfiction to fiction. You would think that the media would be all over me because it is a big deal. Especially in the Bay Area, it's probably the best novel that describes scenes from San Francisco since Jack London. I stand by those words. I describe San Francisco Bay and various coves and islands and street scenes in the city unlike any ever done in this city. I don't know anyone else who's done it better. And it doesn't matter to me whether the Lilliputians notice it. What matters is that the listeners of the Savage Nation have noticed it. What else is on your mind, Marty?
One final point. You used the phrase crony socialism.
Yes, sir.
Other people have called what's going on in this country gangster capitalism. And my brother, who does a lot of traveling overseas with his job, he says that in Europe, the people over there call what's going on over here jungle capitalism.
I have another word for it, but I value my life too much to go into it in any more detail. All I can say is thank God for the bloggers who made the link to the Pelosi clan, the GatewayPundit.com, and the other sites that are saying, how did Nancy Pelosi's brother-in-law become number two? They cannot believe this. It will not make it to the local rag because, as you well know, it's tied into the Democrat machine. You understand that, Marty? Marty, I'm sending you a copy of Abuse of Power for the Christmas holidays. Send it out for Rosh Hashanah if you want. I don't care. Let me read you two pages. Take a break from the politics of the day. Pages 1-4. Jack is the hero. He lives on a boat called Sea Rider. So Jack goes back to the Sea Rider the next morning. When he steps onto the deck, he discovered he had had another visitor in the night. He found a package about the size of a shirt box, wrapped in brown paper and tucked against the starboard pilot house door. There was no name, no address, no writing of any kind. Artie thought, what the heck was this all about? He raised the package slightly, feeling with his fingers for a mine-like depression plate underneath. Nothing. He kept it level as he raised it. There was no lopsided weight to indicate a packed explosive, no faint chemical smell, no ticking, no wires that he could see under the wrapping. Snatching it up, he let himself in, then moved into the galley and laid it on the table. He tore away the brown paper. All he found inside was a briefcase containing a swath of papers. Government authorization forms, from the looks of them, generated by the Department of Defense. Jack paused when he saw them. Was this something you should be looking at? The authorization involved a special transport mission. On August 20th of this year, a shipment of highly classified experimental hydrazine-based rocket fuel was to be carried from a facility Jack wasn't even aware of, designated by number only. For security reasons, the fuel would be traveling by tanker truck rather than the usual rail transportation. According to the timetable, part of that journey would involve passing over the Golden Gate Bridge at approximately 2,200 hours that night, and Jack got the impression that the bridge authority had not been notified of this shipment. The truck itself would be marked as a milk tanker. In other words, this was a so-called black shipment. Okay, Jack had no doubt that happened all the time. The question was, why had this package been left on his deck, and who had left it? Well, Jack goes into the details on pages 125 and forward on Abuse of Power. I don't want to give away the plot. Mobile, Alabama. Kathy, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to let you know that when I heard that the governor of North Carolina wanted to suspend elections, my heart just stopped. I know, I've listened to you for a number of years now, and I just couldn't believe I was hearing that. It's what you've been telling us for so long.
Oh, yes, but now that you see, here's the thing. They're coming out of the closet now with their naked dictatorship. Obama is a tyrant. I don't think you understand who he is and how dangerous this man actually is. Never underestimate him. I keep saying it over and over again. He is the most dangerous and the most intelligent president in the history of this country. And the people who say, oh, he's this, and he reads the teller, they don't even understand what they're dealing with here. This man is very intelligent, and his machine is silk smooth. Now you have them coming out of the closet saying suspend elections. And then they say the next day, I didn't really mean it. They're testing the waters to see if they can get away with a suspension of civil liberties in this country and a seizure of power. Don't you understand this?
Savage.
Savage.
It is the one and only Savage Nation. It's 34 minutes after the hour. Let's go to Texas, where Sandy awaits us. Sandy, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I was right there with Jack Hatfield in the end, throwing punch by punch. That was the best book. Thank you for releasing it.
Well, I'm sending you another free copy of Abuse of Power for your Christmas stockings, because I hope the book is still in the stores, but you know the way things are. I don't think it'll still be there, so I say people ought to grab a copy now. Listen, I have an interview with GOP presidential candidate Herman Cain, pardon me for mangling my words, that I did a little while ago. And since Cain is way up in the polls and he's getting no play whatsoever because he is the antidote to Obama, he is, of course, an African-American, but as opposed to Obama, who spent his life hating America, in my opinion, studying those who hate America, going to a church for 20 years where hate America was the gospel, we have a man who actually was the opposite. He's an African-American man who has an actual degree in mathematics as opposed to an affirmative action degree in constitutional law. Herman Cain on the Savage Nation right now. Joining us right now is a man who knows what Obamacare will do to business, because he is a very successful businessman and a candidate for the presidency, and someone I really support, because of all the candidates on the Republican side, Herman Cain is the only one that I know of who produced a product or a service that is of any value whatsoever. And so without further introduction, we introduce to the Savage Nation candidate Herman Cain, and it's a real honor, sir. Thanks for being with us.
Mr. Savage, Michael, this is Herman Cain. Thank you.
Well, okay, let's start with the top of the discussion. You know, you have the Republican candidates vying for to come out in the front of the field. And I'm not trying to trounce the others, but amongst all of the candidates, Mr. Cain, you seem to be the only one who stands out in terms of actual business experience. I do know that Mr. Romney ran an investment firm. That is true. But in terms of product, I'll take a pizza over a fiduciary instrument any day.
You know, you're right. And the difference is, I actually made a pizza in the restaurant before I ran the company. I actually made a Whopper before I ran 450 Burger King restaurants.
Are you saying you actually were a pizza maker?
Yes, because my philosophy whenever I took over a new business was to learn how that business works from the most fundamental basic level. I actually went into the restaurant and went through some training for a couple of days so that if I'm making these decisions out of my executive office, I know what I was talking about. I did the same thing at Burger King. I ran a Burger King restaurant before they made me a vice president, even though I had already been a vice president at Pillsbury before.
Interesting.
My philosophy is just real simple. If you want to know how to solve a problem or you want to better understand the business, get down there and get your hands dirty and do it for a while so you can better understand it. And this is the difference between my business experience and Mitt Romney's, in all candor, because I've not only run small businesses, medium-sized businesses, saved businesses, started businesses, I've actually made the sandwiches and made the pizzas. And that's the difference between the kind of business experience that I have.
Well, fiscally, you're a real conservative. And Mr. Romney, and I think he's a wonderful man. I had dinner with him a year and a half ago. He won't acknowledge it today. This is typical of so many politicians. I'm pretty sure if you and I sat down over a pepperoni, you wouldn't hide it the next day. And I hope we can do that one of these days. No, in San Francisco. But he won't acknowledge he had dinner with me. And the interesting thing is, he's a very nice man. He's personable. He has a wonderful background. He has four wonderful family, honestly. However, he's not a true Republican in the sense of a conservative. He's a liberal Republican on the order of a Rockefeller or even a Bush one, truthfully. And that's not what America needs now, in my estimation.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, with all due respect, you know, look, I don't have any name against Mitt Romney, but the difference is, the first difference is what I just described. My business experience has been more hands-on throughout my 40-year career, no matter which job I held. Secondly, I came from very humble beginnings, and I don't have any hard feelings against people who came into a good situation when they
right.
were born.
No, neither but do I. Mother, I'm nothing my, against people who inherit money. God bless them. You know what I'm saying? I hope I leave my children and children's children something.
see, the thing is, I had a very humble beginning, so I can better relate to the people that are struggling. Because my mom was a domestic worker, my dad was a chauffeur and a barber, and he held jobs that he needed to do in order to get by. So I can identify better with the people who are almost unemployed. I can better identify with the people that are unemployed. I've got relatives that can't find a job because of this sorry, lousy economy. So I can identify more with that. And so,
Mr. King, let me. I'm curious now. You've got my curiosity. And first, let's stick to the presidential thing, because I'm trying to think of my audience and of my own interests at the same time. How did you actually begin in the corporate world? How'd you climb the ladder?
When I graduated from college in 1967, I was one of the first ones in my family to ever graduate from college. Went to work for the Department of the Navy as a mathematician. I was a mathematics and physics major.
Whoa. Well, now, why don't we know that? Why doesn't America know that Herman Cain was a mathematician?
And guess what I worked on when I first got out of college? Fire control ballistics for fire control systems on our naval ships and on our naval aircraft. I was a fire control systems ballistics analyst when I first got out of college because of my mathematics and physics background.
That's amazing. No, but you see, I didn't know that. Here I have you on my show, so everyone knows the number one, African-American businessman, but they don't talk about your educational experience or your background. Why? Because it doesn't fit the stereotype, I guess, huh?
No, it doesn't fit the stereotype. They don't want to talk about my background and know that I can count, know that I have an analytic mind, although I can communicate with people. And then after being a ballistics analyst for fire control systems for 6 years with the Department of the Navy. I wasn't in the Navy. I was a civil servant for 6 years. Then I went into the corporate world, worked at Coca-Cola, then Tillsbury, and I was able to climb the corporate ladder at Tillsbury to become a vice president. Then I went over to Burger King with a career change to get into the restaurant business, and I had to climb that corporate ladder. And eventually, because of all of that success, Tillsbury appointed me president and CEO of Papa's Pizza. Because of that job, I then later was asked to become head of the National Restaurant Association, which today is the second largest employer in the country next to government.
That's amazing. Well, no, I understand who they are. They lobby for businesses, rightly so. I have friends in the restaurant business in San Francisco who have warned me for years. Do you know what they've done in taxing restaurants in San Francisco? Right. They've added do you know that they've added a medical tax to the sales tax in San Francisco, 1% on top of everything to pay for health care in that city?
They don't know anything else to do, Michael, except tax, and tax, and spend, and spend. This is what's wrong. You're absolutely right. And the same mentality has gone to Washington, D.C., which is one of the reasons that I decided to run for president. I never wanted to run for president. This wasn't a lifelong dream.
Right.
I have done this because this country has been good to me. And from my humble beginnings, I have been able to achieve my American dreams and then some. But I feel a responsibility because I've got three grandkids, and I'm thinking about all of the other little faces out there, and what are we going to leave to them? And so this is why I decided to run for president.
Well, you and I resonate. We're almost the same generation. We are within a few years of college graduation, so I assume we're in the same age bracket. We see the world probably through the same eyes. My father was not a college graduate. He was an immigrant and all of that. And he struggled. I saw what it did to him struggling. Okay, but he taught me the work ethic. So I relate to you. But when I watch you and I listen to you, I look past the stereotype that I'm supposed to see, okay? Because it's very easy to dismiss you. And, you know, people are going to dismiss you, say, oh, he's a black guy, so they moved him up. That's not true. They should understand what your background is. And I'm trying to say to you, I would emphasize my mathematical background. In an age of numbers where the numbers are being juggled by the phonies on Wall Street, your ability in physics and mathematics should be paramount in any discussion. You could run rings around the other candidates.
That's a good suggestion. That's a very good suggestion. I guess because of my, in all honesty, because of my humility, I don't pull it up. But, you know, you make a very good point. A lot of people don't know that, and if I don't bring it out, then a lot of the listeners won't.
Listen, I swear to you, you know, we're talking as though we're sitting in a restaurant together, which is what I tend to do on a national radio show with millions of listeners. But, Mr. Cain, you're running for the presidency. I watched you, and I said, this man, you know, he talks the talk, but he's also walked the walk in order to talk the talk. Yeah. And now I learned that you were a mathematics major in college, which is no mean achievement. That's a tough one. I know what it means to be a physics and mathematics major. That's a tough road to go down. And I would suggest in any debate, I think you ought to remind people of that. Now, it's true that Ms. Bachman was a tax attorney to her credit. However, right. However, people should know what your background is.
That's a good point. And by the way, my mathematics and physics degree was from Morehouse College, but I have a master's in computer science from Purdue University. I just thought I'd throw that in, Michael.
No, keep going. I think America's going to be pleasantly introduced to the new Herman Cain, because you know you're a humble man. I can see that in your demeanor, and the way you present yourself. I say to myself, God, what if he really gets, you know, look, it's very early on in the campaign and people are trying to decide right. who they want to bet on which horse. And a lot of people say, oh, I don't know. I like Herman Cain, but I don't know because he can't win. What do you mean he can't win? You certainly could win.
That's right. In fact, if they go to my website, HermanCain.com, HermanCain.com, they'll be able to look up more information on me and about me and see what my background is. They'll also be able to see many of the speeches that I have given across the country. And so I encourage people to go look at my website where they can learn more about my views, my ideas, as well as my background.
All right, clear enough. And as a businessman, you and I both know that much of the hard work in this country and the manual labor is done by illegal aliens, and we all know that. You've got to be blind not to see that. And you got to be a right. fool not to speak about the realities of it. So let's go to the hardest right. question of the night, which is the economy, the economy, the economy. As a mathematician, as a businessman, how would you rescue this economy from the abyss?
My economic vision, which I have documented on my website, HermanCain.com, has two phases. Phase one is to immediately give this economy a boost in the first 90 days after I become president. We must lower the top corporate and personal tax rate to a maximum of 25%. Secondly, zero taxes on repatriated foreign profits. And thirdly, zero capital gains tax. Fourthly, and most importantly, make them permanent. Make them permanent because uncertainty is killing this economy.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to believe that that would provide a tremendous boost to this economy, which we badly need. And the reason that I would keep it that simple is because the American people can understand it, they embrace it, and they will put pressure on Congress to pass that first piece of legislation. I'm not going to throw a lot of other garbage in there that's going to confuse people. No,
right.
Keep it simple, and we can boost the economy. That's
I agree 100%.
Exactly.
Herman Cain, I know you took an extra bit of time with us tonight, and I think we made an enormous impact on millions of Americans this evening. Please, folks, go to HermanCain.com and learn more about the man who should be our next president. And I want to thank you, Mr. Cain. And remember my slogan, Cain is able. It's not a bad one.
It's not a bad one, Michael. I already got some bumper stickers with that on.
Good luck. Thank you.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Nunplug and Play, Michael Savage Show. Now, look, Herman Cain won a Florida straw poll, so he's back in the news, which is very important. And it's only a straw poll, and it's a long, long way away. But the man has got it. He's got what it takes. The man is very real, and he's got a lot of, let's say, real faith in what he's saying. And a historian named Alan Kouros observed the following in a sort of sarcastic puzzlement. He said, oh, so the Tea Party racists in a Republican straw poll chose the self-made black Herman Cain, mathematician and successful businessman, son of a cleaning woman and a janitor, as their choice of nominee for the presidency of the United States. Well, what a bigoted group, what a caste society are those Tea Partiers. Tell that to the Congressional Black Caucus. Here is the Congressional Black Caucus's worst nightmare, a conservative black man. People can't understand why he won the Florida straw poll. I can. I think you can as well on the Savage Nation. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Utah. Nancy, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, Nancy?
Well, I've got a son that lived here in Utah for several years and moved to San Francisco, and he's been totally corrupted by the value system there. And I would love, he's got a birthday in a couple of weeks, and I would love to send him a copy of your book to see if it might help bring him back to his senses a little.
Oh, Nancy, I only wish that one book could do that, but I am not, I'm not Moses, you know. Moses, it would take a Moses to bring your son back to Utah in one piece, I'm afraid. Because when they come to San Francisco, they don't even just leave their heart in San Francisco. They leave their mind where they left from. In other words, maybe he left his mind in Utah, and he's been, let us say, led down. After all, he's living in a town where Nancy Pelosi's values play sway, you understand? But I'll send you a free copy of Abuse of Power. I don't know whether his friends will ever talk to him again, so you may have to send it to him in a plain brown wrapper, Nancy. 1-800-449. Sal in Chicago, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
What's
up? I never got a chance to listen to you. A friend of mine told me, she says, you know, you sound like Michael Savage. And I said, really? There's a guy who talks like me about a lot of this nonsense? So I finally got a chance to listen to you. And it's very refreshing to hear somebody pull no strings and call it as it is, because the amount of pain and agony that these people dish out on people who work for a living is absolutely stunning. And
it's stunning. I went into an Indian restaurant in San Francisco the other day. I go there once in a while. I have a buffet. And you know the man who said to me, he said, do you know that I pay a tax for the flowers I put on my table? Do you know I pay a medical tax of another percent? Do you know that they want another tax from me for setting up awnings outside for outdoor seating? They want a tax for the tablecloths I put on the table? He said it's less corrupt in India. He said it is easier to do business in India and Russia than it is in the United States of America under the Soviet leader, maximum Soviet leader, Obama. It's crazy.
It's absolute insanity what they do. And I'm in the entertainment business, and, you know, being in the... And I worked with Sean Penn years ago when I was a kid, and he wasn't as whacked out as he is now. But I can tell
you... How does a guy who cavorts with a dictator like Ahmadinejad, who hates Jews, hates America, and Chavez, a noted psychotic dictator, how does a guy like that function in Hollywood without being called on a carpet? How is it possible?
Well, you know, like you said. I mean, you said, you know, look, you people go out and watch their movies. You know what? Like I said, I'm in the business, and if there's rap artists or singers or artists that are as crazy as him, you know what? I don't spend my money on them. I don't promote them. I won't take their
money. You know, Sal, the answer to any question that perplexes you is quite simple. Whenever you see a law, a policy, a statement coming out of their mouths, and you can't explain it, you say liberalism is a mental disorder, and then everything falls in place, Sal. That's a book I wrote a number of years ago, but I'm sending you a copy of Abuse of Power because, boy, are we ever living through it here in this country right now. Stay in the line, Sal. A free copy goes out to you. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Low. I have such good callers. We're just so low on time in this hour on the Savage Nation. We got another hour across most of America. And then, of course, there is always tomorrow on the program to play some of the sound I haven't gotten to yet. I mean, you just can't believe it. What were the headlines on the show today? Light Squared. Look it up on michaelsavage.com. Crony socialism. Obama gives $737 million today to a solar firm linked to the Pelosi clan. This is in light of the $500 million loan that went up in smoke. Even the FBI had to raid Solyndra. But instead of saying, well, maybe we should slow down on this crony capitalism because the people are liable to take note of it, instead, the Energy Department and Obama doubled down on giving out money to their friends. It's astounding to me. But then I blame the Republicans, because if we had a true two-party system, they would be calling for the impeachment of Obama tomorrow because of that $1 billion in loans today. The reason the Republicans will not do it is because their hands are not clean. Unfortunately, my friends, it's a two-party system that's really one-card Monty.
Savage. Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Today's sound is amazing on the Savage Nation. Interview with candidate Herman Cain, Navy Secretary Ray Mabus astonishingly said that for every 50 convoys of gasoline, we lose a Marine. I don't quite understand what he means. And that they're putting all their surface ships on biofuels as well.
We've certified most of our aircraft, including the V-22 tilt rotor Osprey for the Marines 2 weeks ago, the T-45 trainer last week. We're on a parallel course certifying our surface ships on biofuels as well.
So that means that the Navy is no longer an organization of the military with a primary mission to defeat the enemy and protect America. It's to be green and to fit in with the New World Order. We've had North Carolina Governor Beverly Perdue, the chicken head, saying elections should be suspended to help this country recover.
I think we ought to suspend perhaps elections for Congress for 2 years and just tell them we won't hold it against them, whatever decisions they make, to just let them help this country recover. I really hope that someone can agree with me on that.
I really hope that she's impeached for this and thrown into jail. President Obama remarks on the American Jobs Act at Abraham Lincoln High School in Denver, Colorado. Abraham Lincoln, a completely unknown despot.
What's also a quintessentially American idea is that those of us who've done well should pay our fair share to contribute to the upkeep of the nation that made our success possible, because nobody did well on their own.
Also, President Jimmy the Jew-hater Carter, on meeting with leaders such as Kim mentally ill Sung from North Korea, Cuban dictators like Castro from the Carter Center, his support for the Arab darkness, his hatred for Israel, and here's Jimmy Carter again on the Savage Nation.
You saw some of the more controversial people with whom I've met. Kim Il-sung from North Korea. I've been to North Korea twice in the last year. Also, Cuba. We have a very counterproductive foreign policy of trying to freeze out the Cuban people and depriving American citizens from a right to go to Cuba. We're the only nation in the world where the citizens can't go to Cuba. It's an imposition, a deprivation of our human rights, so our government doesn't let us go to Cuba unless you have a special reason like education and so forth, or religion. So we're trying to work out areas of peace.
Here's the CEO of Coca-Cola, Muhtar Kent, saying American corporations are at a disadvantage in the global economy. No kidding. We don't charge any tariffs. They all charge us tariffs.
I believe the U.S. owes itself to create a 21st century tax system that doesn't have thousands of exceptions. If you talk about an American corporation competing in the world today with its Chinese, with its Russian, with its European, with its Japanese counterparts, of course we're disadvantaged.
Nancy Pelosi, the phony, praising Charlie Rangel, saying the Gospel of Matthew made him do it. Made him do what? Rob people? Hide from his taxes? I didn't know that the Gospel of Matthew told you how to hide from a tax man.
I think what brings a passion to his work is the fact that Charlie Rangel is a deeply religious man. How many times has he said to us, the Gospel of Matthew made me do it? When the Gospel talked about the least of our brethren, when they were hungry, when they needed shelter, when they needed clothing. Even Christ said, when I was in prison, you visited me. Very, very important.
We had stock trader Alicia Rastan on the fear in the markets out there under Obama, saying Goldman Sachs rules the world. I'd rather, frankly, have Goldman Sachs ruling the world than Hussein Obama.
This economic crisis is like a cancer. If you just wait and wait thinking this is going to go away, just like a cancer, it's going to grow and it's going to be too late. What I would say to everybody is, get prepared. This is not a time right now to wishful thinking the government is going to sort things out. The governments don't rule the world. Goldman Sachs rules the world. Goldman Sachs does not care about this rescue package, neither does the big funds.
Also in the news today, key parts of the Alabama immigration control law were upheld by a federal court. That's good news. The Obama administration had asked the court to block 10 provisions in the new law, but the federal judge agreed to halt just four of them. The other six she allowed to go into effect while a full trial proceeds, hopefully to the Supreme Court. And that means now that in Alabama, law enforcement officers can try to check the immigration status of those they suspect are in the country illegally. That's very, very good news. Maybe now the illegal aliens will go back where they came from, back across the border. And maybe now, finally, we can see some hope, some light at the end of the tunnel. Here's another practitioner of the religion of peace, Massachusetts man, charged in Pentagon plot. 26-year-old Ashlan man with plotting to damage the Pentagon, U.S. Capitol, with a remote-controlled aircraft filled with C4 plastic explosive. Rezwan Fredeus, a so-called U.S. citizen. Well, anyway, you get the story. Bring them all in. Bring more of them in. That's what we need. Bring more of them in. Also in the news today on MichaelSavage.com, I want to thank you very much for driving Abuse of Power to number 4 on the New York Times bestseller list. That's my new novel. If you read at all, you must read Abuse of Power. If you want to save America, then help change the world by changing the images. Don't complain about the movies. Buy Abuse of Power, and then you'll see a movie called Abuse of Power with your conservative beliefs expressed inside that book. Also on MichaelSavage.com, you heard about the Solyndra scandal, $550 million disappeared, given by Obama and the Energy Department. Well, today the Energy Department approved another $1 billion to two new solar loan companies, weeks after Solyndra filed for bankruptcy. Come on, that's ridiculous. But identity theft is something you have to take seriously. What if someone stole your credit cards and tried to destroy your life? Don't be a victim. Call my advertiser, LifeLock, today. Call LifeLock now at 1-800-LOCK-485 and get 60 risk-free days just for Savage listeners. 1-800-LOCK-485. Call them now. Obama Hussein will not stop until we're bankrupt. We're also talking about the Cain mutiny today on the Savage Nation. And I mean the Cain who was on my show. Pakistani imams call for jihad against the U.S. Let him go to hell. Solyndra violated terms of the U.S. loan, says the Wall Street Journal. Investment in Solyndra raises questions about nonprofit's purpose, whatever that means. You know it's a scam to make sure money got kicked up the Democrat chain of criminals. Germany slams the stupid idiot Geithner to boost the EU rescue fund. Moron Geithner was told by the Europeans to go home and sort out his own mess. Nightmare in Libya, 20,000 surface-to-air missiles are missing. Ask Jimmy Carter about the Arab Spring. Axelrod, the street tyrant, works for Obama, organizing the campaign against America. He says Obama is facing a titanic struggle. Really? What else is on MichaelSavage.com? Not a single Afghan battalion fights without U.S. troops. Hamas is concerned Palestinian state will not attack Israel. Not attack Israel. Thank you, Mr. Obama. And finally, well, not finally, here's another picture. You have to see it with your own eyes. A group of degenerates in Utah attacked Mormons in the streets by getting naked to protest uptight laws against nudity in the streets. That degenerates insult Utah's Mormons with ugly bodies, I say, on MichaelSavage.com. 93,000 Christian cops have left Egypt since Obama's Egyptian Arab Spring. Thank you, Brzezinski. Thank you, Carter. Thank Obama. If you would like to hear me reading from my new novel, Abuse of Power, you can do it for free on the website. Wife of Mexican drug lord gives birth in the U.S. Isn't that nice? Anchor babies. Huh. Rhode Island gives in-state tuition to illegals. How'd that happen? I thought Rhode Island was a conservative state. Not. Saudi women to receive 10 lashes if they drive a car. That's from the Religion of Peace, for those of you who think that it's a religion for you. Iran might execute a pastor for converting to Christianity. Uncle Sam is her pot dealer, and it's legal. MSNBC. More seditious nonsense by communists. A fugitive and hijacking case caught after 40-year hunt. The Black Liberation Army member lived in an idyllic Portuguese town. Perhaps now he could be hired by the Obama administration to run Acorn. Fed sue company because they fired a 600-pound worker. The EEOC says the company violated federal disability laws. Oh, my God, it gets worse by the day. Well, hey, folks, go to my website and see Savage at Barnes & Noble book signing. I was the only one there with Teddy signing books in absentia. There was no one there. All this and more today on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
So for lunch, I'm walking around my favorite neighborhood. I walk up Broadway, past the strip clubs. I look in one store after the other. There's the Afghani restaurant. That's a joke unto itself. Everything, I have a comment in my head. I pass the tattoo parlor, comment in my head. I look in, tattoo, comment. Next, I pass the Afghani restaurant out of business as we move to. I said, where would you move to? A bomb making? They move to another. I never went to an Afghani restaurant. Why do I want to eat like old lamb? Whatever. I can roll them up in a carpet. Next, you walk up the street. You come to the hostel and you see the Eurotrash, and I mean, excuse me, the superb creatures from Europe. And remember, the Eurotrash was a popular word you were allowed to use for a while, a phrase that went out of now it's like a Merotrash. According to Obama, we're a Merotrash, and the Euros are the hero. How did it become that the Europeans are like something to look up to? Where'd that come from? I mean, individually, they're gonna be nice, nasty, but what do you mean Europeans? What's that all about? Their culture? You take a look at some of the Europeans outside the hostel. You'll see what culture is. You never saw such misshapen people with knapsacks in your life. Who would go to a hostel? I don't understand that in this day and age. You're either going to get raped or you're going to get herpes or AIDS laying in there. What are you going in there for? You're better off in a state-controlled flop house than a hostel. A girl alone with a knapsack from Denmark in a hostel in San Francisco? A rape job or a herpes? One or the other. What is she doing here, I ask myself. What are they looking for? You look at these kids, some of them are like 40-year-old pervs, you know, they're still in the hospitals figuring they're going to get lucky with someone from Denmark. And maybe they do, I don't know, they travel the world, I don't know what they're looking for, but you look at a kid, 20, 25, they're traveling. All right, I did it. So what are they looking for? They're looking for a romance? I don't know, or they're looking for adventure? What adventure? What adventure can you have in the modern world other than getting mugged or raped? What adventures lie out there anymore in this homogenized world where you go to China and they look like the people from Brooklyn? Or you go to Russia, they look like the people from San Francisco. Everyone's wearing the same garbage clothing. No pressed pants, T-shirts. Everyone looks disheveled. Everyone looks disheveled. No one looks right. What is the point? I'm asking myself. In other words, let's go back to, all right, you start to sound cranky. All right, so I'm cranky. So let's go back to when I traveled. What was I looking for? Adventure and romance, and I found both. But then I realized that travel unto itself is a bore and a waste of time. Travel for travel's sake has to be about the most boring waste of energy known to mankind. So I decided that I had to do something useful if I ever were going to travel again, because I've always hated travel. I'm a homebody, right? So I spent many years going to the most exotic islands on Earth to collect medicinal plants, and I did very good scientific research. But it was travel with a meaning. Otherwise, I never would have been there. I hated the place, actually. At a certain point, you come to realize it's just foreign. It doesn't mean it's better. So where am I going with this? I haven't any idea. Any more than a modern artist has any idea why he painted a picture of a broken society. So I've just painted a picture for you. If you want to talk about art, you want to talk about science, you want to talk about Danish women in hostels. So then I continue on my walk up Broadway. And I decide, no, I'm not going to go to North Beach and have a big Italian meal. It's lunchtime. I got to do a show. I can't fill my guts with pasta and sauce and talk to anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. So I decided to have a power lunch in the cheapest Chinese joint that I know on Broadway, where they throw the food at you and they're hostile. They look like a combination of a Pol Pot and Ho Chi Minh in this restaurant. Really nasty, particularly to Caucasians. Nasty and mean. But I like the place. I've been eating there for 20 years. They still don't know me. It's an amazing fact. I mean, I guess all white men look alike. They know me. I go 20 years I've been in and out of the place. Anyway, I get the lunch plate. I can't believe they can still turn out a meal like this for like $5. I had the calamari and rice. The rice was horrendous. I never even had bad rice in my life till today. I don't know how rice could be bad. It was horrible rice. Disgusting. Maybe I'm into a day of self-abuse. I enjoyed every bite of the calamari. I loved it. I felt like the revolution had come. I was poor, totally poor again, and eating in the same places I ate in 30 years ago. And guess what? Nothing ever went wrong in these slop joints. And then, here's the interesting part. So you walk through Chinatown in San Francisco, and I go next door. I mean, I told you, the minute I eat, I'm looking for the next meal. I look in the next place, a dim sum place, all local Chinese. I can't believe it. Three pieces of shrimp dumplings for like $1.60. Then I go to the next joint, and it's full. And lunch plates are like $2.95, $3. You know, like pork guts over rice. I don't know what's in it. Chicken egg foo young. I don't know what. Whatever they threw together over rice, $3. Now, when I was young, I used to eat here all the time in these places. I took the kids here all the time. They grew up on cheap peasant food. And to this day, we all still love the same cheap peasant food. So what is that telling you? It's telling you something. It's telling you nothing. It's telling you that the man talking to you can ride on a donkey or he can ride the limo. I can fly Southwest or I can fly in a private jet. It's all the same to me. I'm indifferent to it all.
Savage.
Recently, the modern-day Hitler from Iran, Ahmadinejad, and the president of the Palestinian Authority, Abbas, gave speeches at the UN about the need to recognize a Palestinian state, even though they said they will not recognize Israel's right to exist. Well, joining us now with his opinion on this is the former advisor to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and he's the author of the Tehran Initiative. Joel Rosenberg, welcome to the Savage Nation.
It's great to be on your show. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, do you feel President Obama has actually betrayed the state of Israel?
You know, it's a complicated thing. Certainly, the president has been antagonistic and at times, you know, just shy of hostile to the state of Israel. I mean, the treatment that this president has given my former boss, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, for example, has been just atrocious. I mean, there were times that the head of British Petroleum was being treated better in the whole oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico than the Prime Minister of one of the key ally in the Middle East. Now, to be clear, the president has backed away from his worst behavior towards Israel. His policies are terrible. He's calling for the division of Jerusalem, the division of the land of Israel, the creation of a Palestinian state at a time when the Palestinian leadership has just made peace with the Hamas terrorist organization, not with Israel. The administration is not doing anything decisive to stop Iran from getting nuclear weapons. But that being said, the president is reeling for political purposes. He's realizing for political purposes he's so overreached on being antagonistic towards Israel that he is backing off. And the loss of the Democratic seat in New York District 9, a Jewish district, essentially Democratic district, not held by Republicans since 1923, I think that was a huge shot across the bow. All that to say, you know, the president's speech at the United Nations last week was the most pro-Israel he has been. He is not becoming pro-Israel, really, but he is certainly shifting because of the backlash of the country and particularly the Jewish community, but not only, towards his
his antagonism towards the state of Israel and his unfairness towards one of our key allies that at times he has appeared to throw under the bus rather than stand by.
What do you mean by a new storm is brewing in the Middle East? Obviously, it's been started by Carter, Brzezinski, and Obama. I mean, as I point out on the Daily Show here.
What we're watching in the Middle East right now and in North Africa, Central Asia, is what I call a gathering storm. What do I mean by this? We're at a moment where the state of Israel is more isolated than almost any other time since its creation, you know, more than six decades ago. We're at a moment where the relationship between Israel and her immediate neighbors is worsening. Egypt obviously was, it has signed peace treaty with Israel, but now there is, you know, widespread talk since the fall of Hosni Mubarak that maybe that should be reconsidered. Egyptians are wondering, maybe we don't really want peace with Israel. And, of course, Israel's embassy was stormed violently, just recently. But for the grace of God and actually the help of the United States, Israelis diplomats were rescued from, probably death. So that's been a problem. The relationship with Jordan is not going well. Lebanon, of course, is now in the hands of full control of the Hezbollah terrorist movement, which is a proxy for Iran. Syria is growing hostile and, of course, is in its own, bloodbath against its own citizens. And then, of course, you have Iran feverishly trying to build, buy, or steal nuclear weapons and the ballistic missiles to deliver them. And the world is essentially asleep. It's not that they are not paying attention at all to the Iran nuclear issue, but is the world really taking decisive action to stop Iran from getting the bomb? The answer is no. And even the new UN report from the International Atomic Energy Agency indicates that Iran is steadily moving towards progress in building nuclear weapons. And when the UN realizes this, you know that Iran is well into this process. And the danger is once Iran gets the bomb, does anybody really think they're not going to use it to fulfill their apocalyptic genocidal threats against Israel and against the United States, not to mention anyone that gets in their way in the region? And, either using those weapons directly or providing them to terrorist organizations that would use them against the United States and Israel. No, that's what's going to happen if the United States and the world doesn't take decisive action to stop Ahmadinejad and the Ayatollah Khamenei, the so-called supreme leader of Iran. That's the gathering storm. And yet, just like Churchill calling for the world, and particularly Europe, to wake up and start dealing with the gathering storm of Adolf Hitler back in the 1920s and 30s, nothing decisive was done then, and the world is not paying attention to the threat that's growing inside the Middle East right now.
Why does it seem that Obama is making it harder for Israel to defend itself?
To the president's credit, he has continued to sell weapon systems to Israel. So on that note, I give him credit. However, this administration has continually taken actions that have undermined Israel's security. What do I mean by that? What you have is the president, for example, calling for negotiations with the regime in Iran rather than an overthrow of that regime and regime change. This has been incredibly dangerous. It has caused a huge national security problem for us, and more immediately for the Israelis. Why do I say that? I say that because the Iranian leadership, when you really understand what they want, you understand that they are an apocalyptic death cult. They believe the end of the world is at hand. They believe that the so-called Islamic Messiah, known as the 12th Imam, or the Mahdi is coming to Earth at any moment. And they believe that the way to hasten the coming of this 12th Imam is to annihilate two countries, Israel, which they call the Little Satan, and the United States, which they call the Great Satan. And you know, I document this, you know, I'm not the only one, but I documented this in my nonfiction book a few years ago, Inside the Revolution. And I write about these things fictionally in my most recent novels, The 12th Imam, which was released last year, and the Tehran Initiative, which releases next month. But this isn't fiction. This is actually what the leaders of Iran believe. And therefore, what the president and the and Secretary of State Clinton and others are doing is by saying, look, these are reasonable people. We can just sit down and discuss this and find a way to negotiate our way through this. They're rational actors, and therefore, you know, let's just all be grown-ups and sit down and have a nice cup of, you know, caramel macchiato in Vienna or Brussels or in Manhattan and figure it all out. This is, does two bad things. First, it sends a message to the leadership in Iran, hey, these guys don't know who we are. They don't realize how dangerous we are. They think we're kidding, and that that is, and our enemies smell blood in the water. Secondly, it buys the Iranian leadership time, time they need to continue building these nuclear weapons and completing their ballistic missile development programs. And those are the exact two things you do not want to do in this equation with this type of enemy, is make them think that you're weak and you don't get it, and give them the time to get their weapon systems ready. And this administration has done both, and it has put the world, and particularly us and our ally Israel, in grave danger.
Well, shouldn't they be much more focused on Iran's nuclear program in the UN?
Well, there's no question that right now the world has, and the American administration has, the exact wrong priorities when it comes to the Middle East. This administration has been hyper-focused on dividing Jerusalem, dividing the land of Israel, and creating a Palestinian state co-led by the terrorist group Hamas. I mean, this is lunacy. And meanwhile, this administration ignores the threat of Iran. But the threat of Iran's nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles is far more serious than the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. Now, don't get me wrong. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict is important, and it needs to be solved thoughtfully and carefully. But the priority right now has to be stopping Iran from getting these nuclear weapons and accomplishing their end-of-the-world, end-time scenario. This is the ideology, the eschatology, or end-time theology, that's running the government of Iran right now. And to misunderstand the nature and threat of this evil at this time is to risk being blindsided by it. We were blindsided by bin Laden on 9/11 10 years ago, and we're at risk of being blindsided by nuclear weapons from Iran in the near future if we don't deal with this decisively, and this administration has shown no effort in taking it as seriously as it needs to be taken.
What do you think they should do?
Well, look, there's a whole range of things that could be done. You know, the economic sanctions that were put in place against Iran were useful in slowing down or making more complicated Iran's nuclear program, but they could have been far more severe. In other words, you could effectively shut down the Iranian economy by shutting down their import of gasoline. Now, that sounds odd because Iran is sitting on an ocean of oil and gas, but it doesn't have the capacity to refine that gas into the type of gasoline that you would use in your cars, in your trucks. So it has to outsource to other countries this refining process. By blocking Iran's ability to financially handle those transactions, or potentially even putting a blockade on or quarantine on Iran, you could bring that economy to its knees and hopefully topple the Iranian government, and hope that, you know, moderates, reasonable people would emerge. But this administration, the Obama administration, has insisted that regime change is not their objective. Their objective is to negotiate, to engage the Khamenei Ahmadinejad regime, and that is, you know, diplomatic lunacy. It cannot be done. It hasn't been done in the last few years, and it's not going to happen because these are not rational actors. They're lunatics. I mean, they literally, you know, they should be in an insane asylum or in prison, but not standing on the world stage at the United Nations or engaged in so-called diplomacy with the United States. This is just madness.
Well, anyway, Joel Rosenberg, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
It's good to be with you, and you know, I hope you'll enjoy my my forthcoming novel, The Tehran Initiative. It really, it's fiction, but it feels ripped out of, you know, today's headlines, and it's really about what if the world doesn't take decisive action to stop Iran? What if Israel feels like it has to launch a preemptive military strike against Iran? What would that look like? What would happen? The Tehran Initiative is one possibility.
I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Perhaps elections for Congress for 2 years and just tell them we won't hold it against them, whatever decisions they make, to just let them help this country recover. I really hope that someone can agree with me on that.
Did you hear that? And it's organizations like the AARP who control these leftist politicians. AMAC is fighting back. The Association of Mature American Citizens. Your membership can help stop the left wing. Call 800-255-4199. 800-255-4199 or go to americaisrising.com. 800-255-4199, americaisrising.com. The New York Times ran an article that said a host of mummies of Forest of Secrets, Europeans are found buried in boats in a Chinese desert. They've been DNA tested, which shows that they do have European origins. Number two, they've been carbon dated, and the inhabitants died almost 4,000 years ago. Yet these Caucasian mummies have been well-preserved by the dry air. What's interesting is that the long-vanished people who have been found in the Chinese desert have no name. They don't know their origin or identity. But I know that they have long noses, so I'm starting to think maybe they were looking for Chinese takeout. But it's hard to say, I mean, where they came from. First, I thought it was a Noah's Ark in the Lost Ark, and they were searching for good takeout. There was none in the Middle East at that time. And they almost got there, too, strangely enough. But to be serious about this story, in Chinese desert, mummies in a forest of secrets. A 3,800-year-old mummy. Now I'm going to hear from the fanatics who say, now, Mike, the world was created 150 years ago, because my preacher told me that. Don't read that devil worship stuff about DNA and carbon dating. That's the devil at work, Mike. Anyway, a 3,800-year-old mummy, the beauty of Yahoo, found at the Small River Cemetery. What's interesting is how they were buried, and they're Caucasian, a nameless culture, identity and origin still unknown, and the men were buried differently than women. Where did they come from? All the men who were analyzed had a Y chromosome that is now mostly found in Eastern Europe, so they could be Polish. The mitochondrial DNA, which passes down the female line, consisted of a lineage from Siberia, and two that are common in Europe. Now, Mike, don't give me any of that DNA stuff. That's from the devil. My preacher told me there's no such thing as DNA. That's the devil's nuclear arsenal, Mike. You talk about DNA, that's the way to trick people. The devil's nuclear arsenal, Mike. The world started 150 years ago, Mike. So this is an amazing story when you think about it. How they were buried. Who are they? They find them across from 4,000 years ago? And in the coffins, they're buried in boats? Can you believe the story? I mean, it's a real story. And how they're buried is interesting. I'm not going to read you the whole story. The women were buried in a very interesting way. At the foot of each pole, there are indeed boats laid upside down and covered with cowhide. The bodies inside the boats were still wearing the clothes they had been buried in. They had felt caps with feathers tucked in the brim, uncannily resembling Tyrolean mountain hats. They wore large woolen capes with tassels and leather boots. A Bronze Age sales clerk from Victoria's Secret seems to have supplied the clothes beneath. Listen to this. We're talking 4,000 years ago, the mummies, okay? The women have barely adequate woolen loincloths for the men and skirts made of string strands for the women, the early garter belt. And within each boat coffin were grave goods, including beautifully woven grass baskets, skillfully carved masks, and bundles of ephedra, from which ephedrine is derived. I guess the DEA wasn't in China at the time. See, the ephedra was widely used in those times. It was a fabulous medication. And here's the funny part. Here's the sexy part. In the women's coffins, the Chinese archaeologists encountered one or more life-sized wooden phalluses laid on their body or by its side. Could you hear what I just said? I mean, I'm not making it. It's amazing to me. So in the coffins of the women are life-size wooden phalluses laid on the body or by its side. I guess the Christian rite wasn't involved with this one. And looking again at the shaping of the 13-foot poles that rise from the prow of each woman's boat, the archaeologists concluded that the poles were, in fact, gigantic phallic symbols. Now, wait. The men's boats, on the other hand, all lay beneath the poles with blade-like tops. These were not the oars that had seemed at first sight. They were not oars at all. They were symbolic vulvas that matched the opposite sex symbols above the women's boats. So, in other words, the whole cemetery was blatantly sexually symbolized. And in his view, the doctor who discovered this, the obsession with procreation reflected the importance the community attached to fertility. I think this is amazing. Savage.